welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I am one of your hosts, Micah McCartney.
And I am the other, Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode number 40. How was your week, buddy?
Really good. And how was it? Watched a lot of anime. Played a bunch of Gears of War 4 beta. Yeah. There's some good things on the docket for this week, Sean. We didn't have a bunch of news, but how was your week?
It's good, man. We closed on our house today. I've been talking about it for a while on the show. We actually went and signed the paper, so we're good to go. We're going to actually take possession for a couple weeks. Just because they're still moving. They're moving out of state, the people we bought the house from. So we're letting them stick around for a little bit. But, I'm looking forward to it, man. Really excited. Definitely a new chapter in our lives, so.
Nice, man. Well, congrats. It's a big step. Really cool. And, that's awesome. Can't wait for the housewarming party. Have a little shindig.
For sure, man. That'll be good.
Let's get weird.
Let's get weird.
So, Sean, for our 2 cents this week, we both played the Gears of War 4 beta. Where do we start? What did you think of it?
I mean, it was such a narrow scope of what, I don't know, maybe the whole game was like this. Obviously it's not, but it was like such a narrow shot of what the game is. It's like, it was like 2 or 3 maps of one very specific type of gameplay. And so for what that was, it was okay. It was very, it was identical to previous games. I felt like, graphically, skill level wise, it was the same. Weapons felt the same, which is a good and bad thing, I guess. Like, it's good to have familiarity. And then on the other side, you expect a game to advance. So I didn't see anything that wowed me, really. I didn't see anything that blew me out of the water. Again, this is just a beta, and it was a very limited scope of what they showed to this point. From my understanding, the game is takes place in the future from the last game. You're actually, like, a lot of the characters' kids are living in, like, a post-war world now. But a new threat is coming, or whatever they're just dealing with, still fighting the swarm. So, like, it just looks like a grungier version, I guess. Like a tattered clothes version of Gears of War. I don't know. What did you think?
I think you're being way too nice. I think you're being way too nice. I was extremely disappointed with this. I hyped it up. I told Clarence to download it. I told you to download it. When I played it, I was like, this is literally Gears of War 3 and Gears of War 2. Like, nothing has changed. The bayonet is still the same weapon, primary weapon you use. The shotgun hasn't even changed the way that it looks. It's still the same. Torque bow is still there. Boom shot is still there. They're exactly the same weapons. And I have a huge problem with that. You need to change up your weapons. Halo is a pioneer of changing up weapons, at least in some category, whether they introduce a new enemy besides, you know, the Covenant or whatever, or the Flood. They've always been good with that. I think for as long as it's taken for Gears of War 4 to come out, it is inexcusable for the game to be this similar to all its previous predecessors. I think it's really upsetting, dude. I didn't really have that much fun with the online multiplayer because it's exactly the same. They had Dodgeball, which is a game mode that they only differentiated from other than Team Deathmatch, and they had co-op Team Deathmatch that you could play against a computer. But ultimately, Sean, this was not any different. Like, literally verbatim, that's why I have a problem with it. There was no differences. The way that the locusts look, everything was the same as Gears of War 3. So, I don't know. I was very disappointed with it. And the only thing I can hold out for is the campaign and the Horde mode. That's the only thing I want to play with Sean. So, hopefully, Gears of War 4 will have Horde mode and we can go from there. But very, very disappointed. At least I was.
No, I agree. It was definitely a letdown. I feel like it's hard to say because I honestly, like, there's no way, like you said, that they worked on this game for that long and that's the best they came up with. I think they were just, and this has kind of been the consensus around the internet is that they kind of just played it too safe. They went with what they know works, what people are used to. They didn't want to give too much of the new stuff away to continue to build hype for the game coming out. But I think ultimately it's going to hurt them a lot because a lot of people are going to play it and be like, this is, like Micah said, this is just Gears of War 3. I think they should have took some more risks, should have shown some more new stuff. But I guess it's a beta and that's the whole purpose of it. You know, maybe they have a little more to fix than they hoped or thought. And hopefully they come out with a great final product. But it definitely could use some work. And I'm still holding out that it was just them being overly safe and cautious, and hopefully the campaign's phenomenal, and like I said, Horde mode is great. Definitely gonna check it out, but I guess only time will tell on that one.
Yeah, I mean, not to go too much off on it, I mean, we'll move on, but last thing I wanted to say about it was, I mean, Battleborn was a great example of a beta, how it should be run. You want to lure a player in with something different, new, kind of give away a lot. I mean, they gave away the campaign mode and multiplayer and all the new weapons and all these, like, granted, it's not it's a brand new franchise, which is totally different, so it's kind of hard to compare it. But at the same time, if you're going to do a beta, you have to establish yourself to be innovative from past titles that have come out, bottom line, especially one that is so such a big flagship for Xbox. I just expected more, just a higher bar, you know, a higher standard for this game. And I don't know. I think you should be worried. I'm worried about it. So
pretty much wraps it up.
That's it on the Gears of War 4 beta. Moving on to the news this week. Sean, you got to be excited about this. The Punisher TV series officially is coming to Netflix as a standalone. So Netflix has ordered the new Marvel's Daredevil spinoff series based on the Punisher, to have his own Punisher show. So it's still going to be intertwined with the whole Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, the Defenders, but he's getting his own series. So this is pretty exciting. What did you think about this?
I'm super excited, man. I thought John Bernthal did a phenomenal job as playing Frank Castle. The Punisher in the last season of Daredevil, I feel like probably made up at least half of that series, of that show at least, or of that season. Did a great job, played the character perfectly, just played this like tortured, just messed up ex-military guy who's out on a rampaging and bringing his own form of justice and revenge to the streets, and did it perfectly, I thought. Like, it was really, really well done. He's a good actor. I thought the connection between him and Daredevil was great. This is the sixth show, I believe, Netflix has brought. DC, or sorry, Marvel show that they've brought to Netflix. So we have Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and then the Defenders, and now the Punisher series. I don't know. I think what they're doing with it is great. So far, I've really appreciated everything they've done with Daredevil. Punisher was phenomenal. Can't say enough about it, man. I really, really liked it. And I'm super excited that it's turned into its own series. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you're a big Punisher fan. Regardless, so I know you're going to be really excited about this. I think it's great. Excited to dive back in. I still haven't seen Daredevil season 2 yet, but I know that it's gotten really good reviews. And I just, the only thing I'm skeptical about is why, you know, Marvel picked this. You know, out of the whole Marvel universe, they could have done any superheroes, and they chose to do the Defenders with Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Iron Fist. And I think that it's a little overkill, and they probably should have just done the Punisher and Daredevil, you know, and just gone hog wild with that. But you don't want to oversaturate it with, I think Jessica Jones didn't get as big as a reception as they were hoping.
I disagree. I mean, maybe we, I was the biggest fan of it, but it was, it's been praised by tons of critics. I mean, it's got huge numbers behind it. It definitely wasn't necessarily my cup of tea, but yeah, I mean, it was a huge success for him overall.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just don't, I wish they would have maybe picked a different part of the Marvel universe, but Daredevil, they've done a really good job with it, and I'm not slamming on it. It's still a great show. I was just a little curious about what you thought about them picking that. I mean, they've invested a lot into that, so, I mean, they have it all planned out and whatnot. So, it's cool that the Punisher's coming, and can't wait to see it, man. So, that's awesome. Good news.
Yeah, no, for sure. I totally agree, man. It is, they're definitely side characters, ancillary characters, but they, I think they did. They tried Daredevil, and it worked really well. And so I think they just wanted to continue to repeat that success and give the creators and the writers of that show more opportunity to grow it. And they obviously saw the opportunity to bring on the Defender series, which was it was popular in its own right as far as like in the comic book world. And the Punisher's huge. I mean, he's a pretty big character. So really smart on their part to bring that around. Daredevil and Punisher both have pretty jaded pasts as far as the movie world goes. I mean, both have had pretty shitty movies made for them. The Ben Affleck Daredevil, and there were two actually pretty terrible Punisher movies made. The second better than the first Punisher movie, but still nothing great, nothing compared to what we see today. So I think it made sense to reprise these characters for you know, maybe like a new genre like Netflix. It just probably worked out better, and so far it's worked great. Whoever they figured out to get creating it and working on it and writing it, I don't know a ton about the back feel of the story or of the show as far as who's directing and writing it, but they've done a phenomenal job to this point, so big ups to them.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, moving right along to our next topic. Sean, we have an official confirmed Laura Croft, who is going to be the new Tomb Raider. And it's not who we thought it would be. The lucky lady is Alicia Vikander. She was cast for the role as the new Laura Croft. And she has been in a bunch of big movies recently. She was in Ex Machina is probably her most widely popular role that she was in, but she's also been in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Danish Girl, and A Royal Fair. So, and she's also going to be appearing aside Matt Damon in the new Jason Bourne film. So she's definitely
phenomenal.
Yeah, I love Matt Damon and all the Bourne series movies. I think are really good. So, man, she's been busy. So to be cast as the next Laura Croft, I think this is really cool. I think this is a good choice for the actor. I mean, this is a good casting for the role, I should say. But yeah, what do you think about this? Not going with Daisy Ridley from Star Wars?
Yeah, I think her plate's full. I mean, I think it's become such a big. I mean, she's definitely typecasted for a while. I mean, I think she's gonna be busy doing that for a good amount of time. I think it's smart on their part to pick somebody who's not really super connected with anything yet, because if it repeats itself, you know, I think there were, how many Tomb Raider movies were there with Angelina Jolie? Like three or four?
I think they did at least three, yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely a story that lends itself really well to sequels, and I think you always want to find a person that could kind of make the character their own, doesn't bring a lot of baggage to it, and then or have an open schedule so you could get those movies made if it is a success. So it's smart on their part. She kind of looks like Laura Croft. She looks like Angelina Jolie, to be honest. So yeah, I think it's a good idea. I mean, obviously she's got like the physical stuff now, and as far as like she's starring next to Matt Damon. So it sounds like she's done a lot of physical,
action-packed movies.
Action movies, yeah. Man from U.N.C.L.E. That was a really big, like spy kind of film. So
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Good.
I agree completely. I think it's good. I think it would have been successful if Daisy had done it, because outside of Star Wars, she has taken on this like female leader type role of like the ultimate female superhero, and such an example for girls everywhere. I think it would have brought in a lot more, but I think you're right. It was just too much with her Star Wars schedule going on. So, but either way, good casting. Excited to see it. I don't know when it's, they didn't release when they were going to start filming it. But yeah, we'll try to keep you guys up to date on that. But
did you like the original ones?
I didn't see, I don't think all of them. I definitely saw the first Lara Croft with Angelina Jolie, Tomb Raider. Yeah, it was good. I mean, I don't remember being like, oh my gosh. I wasn't like a big Tomb Raider fan anyway. Like, I enjoy the games. They're a lot of fun. But it's not something I'm like devout about. So sure. I thought it was good. But what about you?
Same way. Yeah, I would say I played the games enough that it was interesting to see. It was one of the first movies that kind of really captured a game really well, I felt like. The Lara Croft Tomb Raider games were very like puzzle almost oriented, so you had to find a lot of stuff, and really popular when we were younger. I mean, it was a huge franchise, and it's probably calmed down a little bit. I know they had that new game that just came out not too long ago. I haven't actually had the opportunity to play it. So, I mean, yeah, I thought they were good. I didn't see them all either. I definitely saw the first one, maybe the second one.
Absolutely. So. Well, it's exciting. Something to keep an eye out for. But, Sean, something that I'm really excited to talk about is there is new news. There is a new Battlefield game reveal teased for next week. So Electronic Arts will be, if you go to their website on, you know, like Battlefield, they have like a countdown till May 6th. So it's just about like 7 days from now. The studio has announced like a teaser. They're going to reveal the future of Battlefield. There's been a lot of rumors that the next Battlefield is going to be set in World War II, which a lot of people are excited about. My friend Grant and Matt, they are kind of on the same boat with us as far as like the futuristic type things kind of getting old. So maybe you want to go back to a shooter in like a World War One or World War II setting would be a lot, a good change of pace. So I think this is exciting. I can't wait to hear May 6th what they're going to announce. But for sure, on the next episode of 5280, we will be talking about that. So what do you think about this, Sean?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. Especially if it is, as rumors have said, that it's going to be more of a, you know, World War One, World War Two kind of throwback. We haven't seen one of those in a long time. That was like, that was it for like army war games. That was like, that's all it was back then. And then it's slowly progressed to where we've kind of gone into like this future game. I don't know. So it'd be cool to see it thrown back. Hardline was kind of a swing and a miss, but it was an interesting concept. It was cool that they tried something different, so I give them props for that. But I'm excited if they go back to their roots, because it'll be something from our childhood that I just can't even imagine what like the graphically you could bring to it now from when we saw it originally.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it's something to get really excited about. I think you nailed it on the head, Sean. Hardline was definitely a misstep for me. I mean, the game wasn't awful, but it just didn't stick with me. It just felt like they just tried to do too much with it. So I hope that they recognize that, and I think that they recognize that Hardline was not a success. So, yeah, man, I'm super excited. I think DICE has had a lot on their plate because they were doing Star Wars Battlefront. And I think that that's why Hardline kind of fell through the cracks, because they didn't really have time to put a lot of their time and effort into a Battlefield game. So that's just speculation. That's how I felt, because I felt like Hardline was just very similar to Battlefield 4. But yeah, it's exciting, and I can't wait to talk about it next week on our next episode. I'm really curious to see what they're definitely building the hype. I mean, it was trending on Facebook and the whole nine. So,
How would you feel though if it's just like, it's just another line in the progression? So it's like another, it's just like Battlefield 2020. We've got jetpacks and drones.
Right? I don't know. I think I'd be a little disappointed because just like Gears of War, you know, I was pretty harsh on Gears in the beginning, and it's the same reason. Like, as a game developer, you have to be innovative. If they want to go to the modern warfare type thing, you know, that's fine. But what are you going to do to separate yourself from Call of Duty, Black Ops 2, and Modern Warfare 4 and all that stuff? Like, you have to make a difference in the genre for it to be a success. And yeah, I mean, if they do that, it would be disappointing, but I love Battlefield so much, it'd be hard to still not check out. You know what I mean? I really believe in DICE. But what about you?
No, same way. Yeah, I think you kind of summed it up really well. As I would still check it out because I'm a huge fan of Battlefield. I've gotten a lot of joy out of that franchise. But yeah, I hope, which is funny that we're kind of like, you got to be innovative and take it back to where you started.
Yeah.
But it's like, it is. It's totally different than what everybody else is doing. I know things are cyclical and they go in cycles. And yeah, man, I just think it'd be so much fun to play. Because I'm definitely when it comes to Battlefield, I like the strategy part of it more. And so if it's set in a World War One, World War Two, like older Battlefield, your weapons are a lot less accurate, and you don't have jetpacks, and there's not shields and all this crazy stuff that you see in like modern warfare games. So it's a lot more about skill. It's a lot more about teamwork. But yeah, and it's like, I'm kind of like a history buff, and I get that it's not history at all, and it's not like, but like just the idea of being able to go back and play those kind of super significant battles and stuff is just really intriguing to me. So hopefully that's where they're heading. And if it's not, hopefully they get the outcry of people wanting to see that and change it to that really quick.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. 100%. So yeah, moving along from Battlefield. There's some big news in kind of like the movie Hollywood business. NBC Universal has acquired DreamWorks for $3.8 billion with a B. It's one of the largest entertainment conglomerates in the world that just got bigger. So yeah, that's
a whole lot of cheddar.
That's a lot of cheese. Yeah, dude, that's a lot. So I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, do you think this will change movies? I mean, they took on a bunch of properties that DreamWorks had that was very successful. Are we just going to see a whole load of reboots, or are we going to see franchising, you know, so they can make their money back with things, TV shows? What do you think? What do you think about all this?
Yeah, man, I hope that they keep it innovative and fun and creative. I feel like they've come out with some really great movies like that touch people, and people have brought a lot of joy to people, you know, like, and I feel like they're really original. Like, there's not a lot of original things out anymore. I feel like everything's like a remake of something or like a sequel to it. And I feel like they were one of the last bastions of like, I mean, when they hit, you know, home run, they drove it into the ground and they would franchise the crap out of it. But that's just good business. But yeah, the original stories that they came up with were great, like Shrek and Kung Fu Panda and all that stuff. I know they're kind of silly, like kids' movies, but a lot of DreamWorks movies have a lot of like adult humor and comedy. They do a really good job of making it fun for kids and also fun for parents and older folks like us to go see. So yeah, I've always been a huge fan of DreamWorks, man. I think they put out great stuff. Hopefully NBC doesn't ruin it. NBC Universal is like, they're just growing insanely big. So I'm sure, you know, growing that brand, but also it allows them to, dip their toes into NBC and Universal's properties. So that gives them more stuff to work with too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's good because I think NBC obviously has a lot more money than DreamWorks. So they can probably fund a lot more better ideas as opposed to DreamWorks. There are a lot of great properties that come with DreamWorks. I love Shrek. And I love Madagascar. I think those are really funny. But DreamWorks was actually founded by Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg and David Geffen in 1994. But I mean, I was shocked to know that Steven Spielberg was one of the founding members of DreamWorks, but he's already a trillionaire anyway, and he just got a little more richer. So,
yeah.
A little fun fact for you.
For sure. And not to mention, DreamWorks was, I believe they were saved by Steve Jobs at one point. Like, I think he came in and invested an insane amount of money to keep them afloat.
R.I.P. Steve Jobs, you're the man. He also freaking funded, Pixar wouldn't even be around without Steve Jobs. Like,
yeah, I know he had a big hand in a lot of that stuff. So
awesome. Well, speaking of, you know, we're kind of talking about Battlefield going back to its roots with World War II. We're going to bounce around to, there was some Call of Duty news. The next Call of Duty is revealed as Infinite War. So this is what happened. There was this person in Canada who was on the PlayStation Network, and something leaked on the PlayStation Store where it showed, at the store, Call of Duty, Infinite War. And it had like an icon picture. So they took a picture of it and put it on Reddit, and everyone freaked out. So yeah, Activision kind of hinted that there was some new news coming out. And then a couple days later, they eventually came out and talked about how they're going to have a Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare kind of re-release for the PlayStation 4. And yeah, and then they kind of didn't 100% confirm that it was called Infinite Warfare, but everyone's assuming that it is. I mean, it's just a little bit of a leak. I know Call of Duty, I play Black Ops a lot still. I'm unfortunately still a slave to the machine. And yeah, I thought it'd be it's interesting that Infinite War, the name came out for it. And Sean, we were talking about a couple weeks ago about how Xbox and PlayStation Online, you know, the doors have been opened to play cross-platform now. And the biggest game to do that on would be a Call of Duty game. So I'm wondering if Infinite Warfare is going to be cross-platform. That's my biggest question about all of this. So what do you think?
Yeah, man, I you know, I'm not the biggest Call of Duty fan. I definitely played a lot of their titles in the past, and they are fun for sure. Yeah, if it was an accident or if they are just trying to generate some buzz early on, either way, like, looking forward to it. New titles are always good. New advancements in the technology is always great. I did hear that it was, there was like some rumors that it was going to have some throwbacks to previous games in it as well, or like some remastered versions, kind of like we saw with Metal Gear, like free upgraded versions of older games that they had put out or something, because they said it was like Legacy Edition and all this other stuff. So not 100% sure what all that is going to mean, or if it, any of it's true. Like we said, it's like an image basically leaked. And so, like, the whole internet exploded over it as far as, like, the game world. But it's a huge game, man. And, you know, their PvP stuff is great. So,
yeah,
definitely looking forward to see what they come up with.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's good. I would really like to see if it is going to be cross-platform, because that is such a big game, and everyone loves Call of Duty. I mean, that probably is the biggest... The Division's the most played game on Xbox right now, but next to that is Call of Duty Black Ops. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal, and hopefully that would be so cool, Sean, if it was cross-platform, the first like big title. So,
right.
we'll keep up on news on that. But moving along to our last thing for the show, it was kind of a slow week. There wasn't a bunch of news. That happens occasionally. but yeah, DC Universe Online is now available for Xbox One.
Woo! Woo! Ow!
Only took 5 years. only took 5 years. Yeah, Sean is actually downloading right now, and I'm downloading right now. This is Friday, the 29th. So, yeah, I knew that we were talking about it, and we talked about it like a month ago. We were talking about how it was coming to Xbox Live. The good news is it's free to play. All you need to download it for free is having Xbox Live Gold membership, and it's free to play. And of course, there's microtransactions inside the game for coins to upload things and upgrade your base with packs and whatnot. And there's a lot of different things. Just like Tamriel Online was free to play, but man, I put in like 40 hours, Sean, of Tamriel Online, and that was that was, you did have to buy that. I'm sorry, I retract that. But yeah, I knew you said you were going to download it. Are you excited to play it, or is the hype over?
So my hype is still fresh. I never played it on PlayStation. That was actually like when me and Michael went to go buy our, when the new consoles came out. It was right after, not too long after it came out on PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 3. And Micah had a PlayStation 3, and he played it, and he loved it, and I was super jealous. And then right after that, Xbox One and PlayStation 4 came out, and we've always been Xbox guys. He had both consoles at the time. And so, begrudgingly, this is probably the biggest thing that he hated me for at the moment, was that he was giving up this game to switch over to Xbox. But we did it. We haven't looked back since. But this is probably like the one thing that he regretted losing the most. And I was always the most jealous of him that he got to play it, and I didn't have a PlayStation 3 at the time. So I'm really excited to play it as a fresh face to it. More curious about you. Are you excited to go back to it? Has enough time passed that you feel like you're ready to check it out again? Or you think it's going to be not all that you had remembered it to be?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious to see what you guys think. Let us know. We've had a lot of people reach out to us lately on Facebook and on Twitter and Instagram and all that, and that's so great. And we appreciate that. And yeah, let us know what you think. But I remember when the first, you know, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One came out, we were having serious debates about what console to go with, and I was saying PlayStation 4, and you're saying Xbox One. And I was just saying PlayStation 4 because I wanted to continue playing DCU Online with you. But I think we made the right decision. I've been really happy with my Xbox One, and it's a good console. So
yeah, that was crazy, man. I remember we used to, like, every day we would send each other like articles we found that were like, guy's saying PS4 is better, this guy's saying Xbox One's better.
Yeah. Oh, it was bad. I mean, we were scouring the internet for anything we could find of, like, any specs that came out for one console or another. We'd be like, oh, that's better. Oh, but this one's better. Oh, but that's better. And ultimately, I could have...
first get those consoles when they first come out, that's an investment, man. It was like...
it is. You got to pick
controllers and stuff, it was like $600-$700 with a game or two. And
yeah. You gotta pick a side, because not all of us are wealthy enough to be like, I'll just get both so I can play with both my friends. Like,
right, especially when they come out.
Yeah, when they launch, they're the most expensive. I mean, me and Sean spent ungodly amounts of money just to get it early, but it was worth it. I have no regrets. But yeah, man, I'm so excited. I can't wait to play it after we get off the podcast. I'm gonna definitely jump in. Just some statistics for you. It was a Daybreak Game Company. They're the ones that made the game. It's a massive multiplayer online superhero game, and it free to play when you download it. It comes with 23 episodes that are available right now on the Xbox Live Store. So yeah, like I said, it's free to play game. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I can't wait to test it out. But the game was originally released in 2011 on PlayStation 3 and Windows, and I just can't believe that it's taken them 5 years. I'm sure it was something with PlayStation that they couldn't release it on another console until their contract had ran out or some boring, stupid shit like that. So,
well, and I also saw, I mean, in trying to rebuild some hype and getting this going, they're doing like a sweepstakes kind of thing, and it starts today, actually, through Tuesday, May 3rd, and then it's going to be, like, different daily trivia sweepstakes. For you to enter to win. Some questions will be about the DCU. Others will be about DC Comics. But, yeah, it looks like they're going to have different things every day. There's going to be a lot of prizes. They say 2,000 marketplace cash prizes, grand prizes. You can win an Xbox One, which if you're playing it on Xbox One, you already have an Xbox One. But whatever. That's cool. You can sell it. You can sell it and get a couple $100 if you want.
Yeah.
Or put one upstairs or have an extra one just to carry around.
Speaking of Xbox One, have you seen the Tony Stark Xbox One that blew up the internet? It's like white with the Iron Man symbol, and it says Stark Industries on it. It's like got like the, you know, the Iron Man chest light. It's like in the middle of the Xbox One. Yeah, it's dope. It's dope as fuck.
Is it like an official, or was it like somebody just made it?
No, I think it was like a contest winner. I think I don't know if you could buy it directly, okay. But it was like made for I think a contest, but. I have to check it out, but I remember scrolling through my feed and I was like, that's badass. I want that Xbox One so bad.
Dude, yeah, I just checked it out. That's crazy.
Right?
That looks so cool.
I don't know if it was put into like mainstream production where you could just buy it and it's a bundle deal or something, but pretty cool. Pretty cool looking Xbox One. So
it says, in conjunction with Civil War, Captain America Civil War coming out, Microsoft is giving away a custom Xbox One console inspired by Tony Stark. So there must have been like a sweepstake contest that you can enter. That's probably over, so you won't ever win it, but definitely go check it out online. It's pretty cool. It's got like his little, what did they call that thing in his chest? The,
I don't know.
His like pulse reactor thing. I don't know what it's called.
We're DC guys. Yeah, for
even
life.
Even the controller says Stark Industries on it and everything.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
It is a really cool console. It's all white. So, yeah. If they put that into production, how many people would freaking buy that? I don't understand why they didn't just mass produce it, but probably cost a lot of money to make.
Yeah, get the licensing rights and everything. Probably it's fine for like one sweepstakes kind of thing, but that's kind of cool too to think though, like if you win it, like, you're the only one in the world that's going to have this amazing Xbox One. So it makes the prize a lot cooler.
Definitely. Definitely. Cool, man. Well, I think that about wraps it up. We have a Q&A for this week still.
Yeah.
Sean, I got a question. What is your favorite DreamWorks movie?
Oh, man. You know, I'm going to go with... It's a tough one. I'm gonna go with Ants.
Really?
I really like Ants.
Okay. We're gonna go with Ants. Ants all day. That's funny.
No, I don't know.
I was like, Shrek I had really thought for a though. Second, did they make Ants? But I was like, oh yeah, they did make Ants. That's funny, dude, that you said that. You like picked like the one that was made like a decade ago and like isn't that popular now, and you're just like Ants all day.
Ants, you know, Ants.
I would have to go with, it's between Shrek or Madagascar, the first Madagascar. I'll go with Shrek. Shrek's pretty dang funny, dude. Like the Pinocchio.
Shrek is really funny.
Pinocchio. I want to be a real boy. Yeah. So good. And like he's wearing the women's underwear. Like it's just classic. It's really funny.
Michael Myers, hilarious.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy.
Or was Chris? Was it Chris Rock? No, it was Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, it's Eddie Murphy. Interesting fact, Chris Farley was supposed to be Shrek. And they actually shot like a lot of voiceover stuff for him before he passed away. And so like there's like a video you could find, and it's like drawings, like sketches of Shrek, and then it's his voiceover, which would have been a completely different Shrek. And then after he passed away, Michael Myers took over and refilmed everything or reshot everything for his voice. And yeah, man, they've put out some great stuff. You know, we've talked about Shrek. They did that How to Train Your Dragon series, which has been really popular. Madagascar. That Kung Fu Panda with Jack Black is hilarious. Ants is a timeless classic.
I think it won like 20 Academy Awards, something like that. Yeah. Most innovative movie ever.
Turbo, They did that Trolls movie. I don't know if you guys ever saw that.
Oh my gosh. Now you're just out of
Megamind?
Control.
Megamind?
Wrap it up.
Do you remember Megamind? That was a good movie.
Yeah, with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh, the Bee movie with Jerry Seinfeld?
I never saw that.
That was so good. Dude, yeah. Ants in the Bee movie. You're Ants, missing out, man.
You're naming you need some to go back. Lame-ass movies. I mean, they're good in their own right.
We're just losing all of my credibility right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you are, totally. Because if you say, hey, you guys should watch this, it reminds me of Ants.
Did yeah. you guys see the Madagascar penguins in A Christmas Carol? That was a side movie they put out.
You're joking.
No, it's a real thing. I looked it up. I never saw it.
That's just combining three of your movies. That's just lazy DreamWorks.
Did you guys see Bee Ants?
Really Did you guys see Bee Ants Madagascar Shrek? Did you see that movie? It was great.
Oh, they did that Home movie too. That was pretty funny. I saw that with the guy from Big Bang Theory. He's a little purple alien that came out like last year. Yeah, it was on TV. Over the Hedge. How about that?
Over the Hedge was a great movie, actually. Yeah. I almost want to retract my Shrek and say Over the Hedge
is my
favorite.
I just saw that, too, and I was like, Over the Hedge was phenomenal.
That was a great movie.
It was great.
That was a really funny movie.
I'm going to say Over the Hedge.
Yeah, I think we both retract. Yeah. Over the Hedge is definitely DreamWorks' best movie. Yeah, I agree.
We got the late Gary Shandling, who just passed away, was in it. He played, Steve Carell, Bruce Willis, Avril Lavigne. Come on. William Shatner, for crying out loud.
Avril Lavigne. She is a renowned actress / singer.
Hey, see you later, skater boy.
Yes. And on that note, will you wrap it up?
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This has been another week of 52 and Nerd. If you want to tell us what your favorite DreamWorks movie is, we'd love to hear about it. Like always, you can connect with us on Twitter. Is probably the best way. You can reach us at 5280Nerd. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter. You can reach Micah at
Vash0077.
And to help us out, show us some love and some support, please go on to iTunes, like us, and subscribe. Definitely helps out the show, helps other people to see it, find it, become part of this community which we're trying to build of nerds and geeks. We love this stuff. We love comic books and all these good movies and video games. Like always, you can also check out our website at 5280nerd.com. We love you guys. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Later, guys.
That's a whole lot of cheddar. A whole lot of cheddar. I'm gonna go with Ants.
Really?
I really like the Ants.
Okay. We're gonna go with Ants. Ants all day.